experiences and fostering mutual understanding. The Portland Performing Arts Culture Complex will help build a more connected and resilient community. It will be a beacon of inclusivity where artists from all backgrounds can showcase their work and engage with the broader community. I strongly urge you to support the funding and development of Portland State's proposed project. And as a neighbor of the current site, I understand the construction will pose some challenges for a period of time. However, the end result will far outweigh the short-term inconveniences, and I'm excited that my neighborhood and the Halperin sequence will be activated 365 days a year. Thank you for your consideration and your commitment in serving our city.
Thank you so much. And next, I think we have Connie online. Welcome, Connie. Oh, you're muted.
Thank you. Yes, I'm Connie, and I live in the Portland Plaza, and I've been a member of the Halperin Conservancy Task Force for about, I don't know, 6 months at least. So I'm well familiar with the pros and cons of the things being proposed to date. I have monetary concerns. When I saw the figure of $450 million plus for the cost of the new build, plus the additional costs of the parking and the second performance hall, I'm just wondering how the taxpayers are going to have to pay for all this. So I have monetary concerns, and I feel like the Keller project will cost less money to renovate the existing. I also have concerns about the ingress egress of cars going in and out of a 500 to 740 car parking garage that one side is backed with the freeway and the entrance to the freeway and how to get in and out of there. So these are my major concerns. Also, from a philanthropic perspective of fundraising, I feel like the Keller project would be stronger because of the memories that many people have in the greater metropolitan area for that place and that space at the Keller. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Denault. Keelan, can we call our next three guests?
B. Marston, Michael Tingley, and Monk Chris Hubbard. They'll be followed by Nicole Possert, Adam Shellack, and Dana Rakosny.
Welcome. I think officially we have B up first.
Hello, I'm B Marston. I'm an out and proud trans woman, proud member of Unite Here Local 8, and lead bartender at Portland 5. I've worked there for 21 years. I love my job, and I want to keep doing it for many years to come. I'm a firm believer that bartending is a performing art and that the food and beverage staff are a crucial part of the guest experience, a part that often gets forgotten. I urge you not to forget us and the other theater workers as you move forward. Portland 5 will not survive another shutdown. The bulk of my income and hours and those of my coworkers come from the Keller. Closing it would be a disaster for the performing arts ecosystem and all those who depend on it here, even with a more staggered approach, although I do appreciate the attempt to mitigate the impact of closure. I urge you all to listen to the people who actually work there and the companies who have events there as we sound the alarm. I also appreciate PSU reaching out to us and other labor allies with their proposal for a replacement venue. Their plan would solve a lot of problems and provide a much needed upgrade. But with so many questions still unanswered, we are not prepared to back one plan over the others today. One question that comes to mind, would this new hotel be staffed by union workers? We need to know that we will still have our jobs and our unions in whatever new venue we end up with. We need to know that whatever construction is done must be done by union labor. We as a labor coalition stand united in these goals. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. And next up we have Michael. Welcome.
Members of the council, good evening. My name is Michael Tingley. I am a principal at War Architecture and Interiors, a firm recognized as national experts in the design of performing arts and higher education buildings. I'm here to testify in support of the PSU proposal. Based on my experience with performing arts projects around the country in civic settings, many of them renovations, I believe this proposal and location will prove to be the smartest investment for the city. It's going to avoid the risks associated with an extended close down of the Keller, which is not just a possibility, it's extremely likely. These are very complex buildings to renovate, and it's going to be next to impossible to continue to perform in that building doing a renovation as extensive as the one proposed. The PSU proposal also leverages the city's ability to bring in significant investment dollars from other sources. And if you look at the three proposals side by side, we're talking about a $390 million cost for the Keller renovation when you include the economic losses and impacts of a significant shutdown. So these projects are very similar in terms of what they cost. I have the experience of leading the design of two major projects at PSU, the renovation of Lincoln Hall and the Vernier Science Center. So I have direct experience with PSU's capacity, capability, and track record of completing large and complex projects successfully. They have an undelivered example and record of delivering projects on schedule and budget, but they also have an expansive understanding of our city and a commitment to an inclusive process for a broader community that they serve. For the Vernier Science Center, PSU was determined to design a facility that would be welcoming to a diverse student population. And the design process emphasized soliciting more input from underrepresented students to learn what would improve their educational experience. We had a student from an Indigenous background who talked about her journey in higher education as a commitment to her family and her tribal community, not as a solo journey. She lamented the fact that there was nowhere in the college environment where her family, her extended family, grandparents, or children were welcome. And in response, we created a family lounge, a dedicated space where students could invite their family members to share their experience and support their journey. This is the first space of its kind to in any higher education institution that we're aware of. And I think this illustrates the embedded values that PSU offers for this project and their dedication to create an art center that is inclusive for everyone. Thanks for listening and for allowing me to bring this information forward.
Thank you very much. Next up, we have Mr. Hubbard online.
Thank you, Commissioners, Mayor Wheeler. My name is Mont Chris Hubbard. I am the Secretary Treasurer of my union, the American Federation of Musicians, Local 99. My union's members work in the Keller, on stage, and in the pit. Like many others today, I'm not speaking in favor of one of the plans presented, but rather against any plan that requires a full or partial shutdown of the work that makes up the core of our livelihood. The opera, the ballet, the touring Broadway productions in the Keller, they employ musicians, actors, dancers, stagehands, makeup artists, carpenters, and more. These jobs are anchor jobs for our city's incredible community of artistic professionals. Those jobs, while many of them are part-time, they are good-paying union jobs, and hundreds, if not thousands, of these artistic professionals depend on those jobs to provide the foundation around which they can build a full-time career in the arts. If these anchor jobs disappear for 2, 3, 4 years, there will be severe ripple effects in our ecosystem of creative professionals. Some of them will be forced to leave for a city that can support them. And when that happens, Portland doesn't just lose a musician from one performing group. That musician works for dozens of different organizations in 1 year. They all lose a worker. That musician might also teach 10 or 15 hours a week in an elementary or a high school or a college. When that musician leaves, all of those students lose a teacher. So any plan for replacing or rebuilding the Keller that does not figure out how to maintain the current level of employment for artistic professionals will do major damage to our region's creative ecosystem. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Keelan, could you call our next three guests?
Nicole Possert, Adam Shalek, and Dana Rakosny.
Welcome. And I up first, I believe we have Nicole.
Hello, Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Nicole Possert, Executive Director of Restore Oregon, a historic preservation nonprofit that works statewide on preservation and adaptive reuse of Oregon's amazing natural and built environments. We wholeheartedly support the proposal to reuse and reimagine the existing Keller Auditorium and the vision to connect and activate the world-renowned Keller Fountain and National Register-listed Halperin Open Space Sequence. Both are significant places of heritage that require our collective stewardship. All too often, reuse is given no upfront thought when it comes to our buildings. Our environmental mantra of repurpose, reuse, and recycle should always apply even to our built environment. The reuse team has created an outstanding solution. They have addressed the key issues of seismic and operational enhancement at the lowest project cost, in the most climate-friendly manner, and can work towards a schedule to minimize the impact on cultural performances. But it seems to me that the long-term issue that hasn't really been vetted in the other two proposals and cannot wait to be addressed until later is the ownership of the Keller. As the owners of the Keller Auditorium, what is the city going to do? What are they going to opt for if you do a new location? You don't get to simply walk away from the Keller and forget it. You still own it. What happens? Your obligation, those costs, that long-term liability of a dead and shuttered large facility leaving an empty hole in the heart of downtown's cultural district is the central issue. So the long-term view is needed now. And when you look holistically through that lens, hands down, the investment path forward is to reuse and transform the iconic Keller into our next Keller. Let's do that together. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And next we have Adam. Welcome.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm Adam Shalek up from Berkeley, California. I've been a theater consultant in the planning and design of performing arts facilities for over 35 years, involved with hundreds of projects from visioning through construction, both new buildings and renovations. I've seen several eras of economic swings and earthquake and the swings, and the effects on cities and their PACs, and vice versa. My firm, the Shalek Collaborative, has been contracted to P5 and Metro since 2015. I was deeply involved with the development of the 2018 Keller study, and again in this iteration as part of the consultant team. Having worked through the options, considered the alternatives through the years, I find that adapting the Keller is not only the most feasible, it will be as transformative to the current building as the 1960s makeover was to the original 1917 building. As with any current PAC, the lobby venue, and large rehearsal hall will widen the Keller's quantity of uses. For audiences, accessibility, sight lines, acoustics, and seating will take a giant leap forward. The significant backstage expansions will attend to the artist and production imperatives. Since the Keller has been the generating engine for P5, the facility changes and systems replacement we've envisioned will improve and build upon Keller's known effectiveness, propelling it to a next level operating venue comparable to its national peers. All this will lead to efficiency in operation, which is the business sustainability model for success. We are fully sensitive to the prospect of another shutdown, but with so many positive assets in place, the wide differences in first costs and self-determination, I'd recommend that decisions be made looking toward the 50 plus years after reopening. But don't take my word for it, run the numbers. The clear next step for the city of Portland in order to make a fully informed selection is to conduct an independent and thorough business planning exercise to prove out the ongoing financials of the endeavor. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have Dana? Keelan, could you call the next three?
Margot Howell, Joel Thorson, and Connie Kirk.
Wherever you like.
Okay.
And I think first up we have the order is supposed to be Margot, Peggy, and then Joel. All right. I take it that we don't have Margo. So are you Peggy?
I'm Connie.
Connie, uh-oh. Yeah. Maybe I'm off. Whoever wants to go, go.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, esteemed commissioners, for your welcome. My name is Connie Kirk. I'm an actor and editor based in Portland, Oregon, testifying before the civic equivalent of an all-star cast. I'm also a member of the Downtown Neighborhood Association, which I think is an association that really digs deeply, has its ear to the ground, and really cares about our city. And so I support their support for the 21st Century Keller. I completed my master's degree at New York University in the field of media, culture, and communication, where I pursued doctoral studies under the auspices of the late media philosopher, Dr. Neil Postman. What I say does connect with today's hearing. Dr. Postman warned that democracy would be under siege by disinformation and substantive journalism being supplanted by spin. I would be remiss if I didn't reiterate that the arts entertain, but they also educate and enlighten. They're the spirited and spirit-filled antidote to disinformation and a rise in nationalism. And the reason is this is important, I think Xavier Stickler raised this point very well. I think it's important to recognize issues being raised and the needs of our LGBTQ community, who I wholeheartedly support. I am endorsing the 21st Century Keller Project in its current location. It's well-placed to thrive in the heart of Portland's downtown. Where the arts thrive, so too the economy. And this is confirmed at AmericansForTheArts.org, where one is able to track by city and state their arts and economic prosperity study, which I've provided for you. The current Keller, with its historic locale, offers an ideal urban infrastructure for such revitalization, the parking, the hotels, the nearby restaurants. I believe Halperin's vision weaves in the area's natural beauty by conjoining Keller Park, where stunning multimedia will enhance and increase outdoor performances. Their vision will expand job growth downtown with a stated commitment to equity and inclusion. I lived in New York for many years, and I believe the 21st Century Keller Project at its current location will be Portland's Lincoln Center, but better.
Thank you so much.
Joel Thorson, I'm a downtown resident of 5 years duration. I live right between two of the three candidates for this decision and have divided sympathies between them and also Lloyd Center. I used to work in that area for 4.5 years and welcome all of the progress they're making in their master plan. Where PSU is concerned, I also applaud the plan for the 1,200-foot intermediate scale performing center there, which seems to me to be very consistent with Dean Bynum's intentions for educating students, which happens to be their primary mission. In fact, a requirement for getting capital funds allocated by the state coordinating council for higher education. There's some mission creep beyond that. And when I began looking at the details of the and pros and cons of a bullet lists of decision factors, it took me a while to find how to get my feet on the ground there. And what I came up with is I could know for sure there are a couple outcomes that I just really think are abhorrent because they abdicate or compromise Portland's control over the expenditure of public funds for performing arts, community development and preservation. And I urge the council to consider that, guarding that prerogative at all costs. And with that in mind, I point out a couple of encroachments, particularly with the PSU plan. The Lloyd Center is still too vague to really analyze, but sharing of two theaters in one building and it means that they will have calendar clashes inevitably, and those have to be arbitrated somehow by some authority. That authority now is vested in Portland 5, and its authority is here going to be diminished and cut in half. That's a number of other detailed issues. I would welcome attention to a three-page document. It's about 10-minute read that I deposited online. Reasoning this through with that as the prime directive is maintaining Portland 5's mandate for curating the what I call the calendar real estate of those five stages for the benefit of the entire community of artists. That's all for now. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Keelan. Could you call our next three guests?
Dr. Cameron Toth, Philip Timmons, and Emily Saylor.
Testing, testing.
Sound great.
Go ahead.
Cal.
Hey, Cal, it's all you.
Cal. So my name's Cal Toth. I'm a member of the Downtown Neighborhood Association, a retired Portland State University professor as well. And I work in the area of software engineering, but I'm trying to take it easy these days. The main thing I'd like to do is avoid the gong. So I'm only going to say two things. In my opinion, the upgrading of the existing performing arts center is the way to go for the Keller. Doing nothing to it will let it go fallow, and who knows what will happen to it. It could get demolished. I don't know how that's going to impact jobs, but that would be a real disaster. So this is one big reason I support it. So I'd like to just say failing to add value to the Keller would erode the inner city's long-term potential, as far as I'm concerned. And upgrading what we already have would invigorate Portland's cultural heart. Well, that's what I'd like to depart with. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Cal. We start.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Emily Saylor, and I'm here to testify on behalf of the Oregon AFL-CIO, the statewide federation of labor unions representing over 300,000 working Oregonians. We act as a voice for all working people in the legislative and policy process. President Traynor was unable to be here today, but asked me to speak in his stead because I happen to be a member of the Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, and a 35-plus year member of Portland's theater community. While we support addressing the Keller's structural needs and the needs of arts organizations for vibrant state-of-the-art performance venues, the Oregon AFL-CIO does not endorse any one of the proposals currently before you. Our singular focus is on the affected workers and the economic impact to both workers and the community. The closure of Keller Auditorium for any length of time would be catastrophic for Portland's arts and entertainment workers, the arts organizations for whom they work, and the city's comeback. The arts community cannot withstand another shutdown. We are still recovering from the pandemic, but it isn't just artists who will be affected. It's the stagehands, the front of house workers, ticket takers, ushers, et cetera, the concessions staff, the building engineers, the musicians, the security workers, the truck drivers, and more. And this is just within the building. Beyond that, a closure would have a devastating effect on the local economy, from parking garages to restaurants to hotels. This would deal a severe blow to Portland's sorely needed revitalization. The Oregon labor movement expects that any future construction or renovations will be done under a project labor agreement, utilizing only high road contractors who take care of their workers and the community, as well as continued respect for the rights of workers to organize once any venue is completed. But we urge you to consult with all stakeholders, especially arts organizations, professionals, and the unions who represent them as you develop your plans. But the building, a fancy new or remodeled venue is just a building, no matter how beautiful. But the building doesn't create the art or the sense of community. A shutdown would effectively decimate our arts organizations and permanently drive off working artists who will look for a different market to find work in their craft. Then what good will a fancy new venue do? Protect arts and entertainment jobs. Don't shut down the Keller. Thank you.
Thank you. Keelan, our next three, or who's up next?
Don Mazziotti, Rose Benatucci, and Chiquetta Johnson.
Don here? Hey, Don, come on up. Sure is. I think, Don, you're supposed to start first, then we have Rose, and then Johnson will be up. 2 minutes, and I do want to take a moment to encourage people to stick to our 2 minute time limit. We still have about another 38 people in the queue, and we'd like to get to everybody before it gets too late. But welcome, first name for the, or first and last for the record. You don't need to tell us where to where you live, but we'd love to hear from you, Don.
Don Mazziotti.
Hey, Don.
I just have 4 points to make.
Okay.
One, we have an existing nationally recognized landmark called the Keller. It takes about 25 years to become a destination, and it is one and will continue to be one, I hope. Secondly, I think the expansion project, in the absence of that project, a lot of folks have talked about catastrophic effects. The effect of ending the Keller Auditorium would be devastating or catastrophic on the surrounding businesses, all of the amenities, the infrastructure and the like, for a, you know, a short period of time. Third, the proposal that is put forward by Keller is the least cost by far, looking at these proposals. And fourth, there is overwhelming voter sentiment in favor of the Keller rehabilitation. 70% was the return on favorable to the Keller. I would urge you guys to take a look at those factors. I think John Russell's comments are pretty positive. The PSU proposal, I love PSU, okay, don't get me wrong,
yep,
but it's extremely complex. I would not want to be the project manager. Having been the CEO of the Portland Development Commission, did about $8 billion worth of development in downtown, I think renovation of the Keller is essential.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Next up we have Rose. Welcome, Rose.
Hi, good day all. My name is Rose Etta Benatusi, she, her pronouns. I am the business representative of the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, representing workers here in Portland since 1895. No shutdown. I stage managed the opening of the new theater building, now Antoinette Hatfield Hall. I worked years as a stagehand in the Newmark and the Winning Stand, and I know firsthand the shortcomings missed by design teams. We need a functional, soundproof building, not just a pretty building. The Halpin Group has been at this for 7 years, as they said, and they have left us out of the conversation. A theater is not apples to apples to redirect pathways for people around an airport. Not the same, people. The shutdown of 2020 was devastating. We experienced over a year of lost work firsthand, lost careers. How much will all the entertainment industry workers lose this time on purpose? What burdens will you, the city, have to deal with for all of these people out of work again? There are no simple answers. You still have homeless people from the shutdown. The groups that survived are not back to full seasons. The loss of shows includes loss of many inclusive performances for diverse school children who attend entertainment downtown. Portland has been the beacon of this for generations. This is a loss of enrichment to students, a loss to building the next generation of theater goers, users of parking lots, public transportations, restaurants, all of the stuff we need for economic future. Information is needed to answer many questions. Questions about bright lights from these video screens, other things that are going to affect traffic in neighbors' windows. Wherever the Keller is, please remember it is a part of a bigger ecosystem that needs to be protected by you. It is your job, the city of Portland, who owns these buildings. They need to be sustainably funded, owned and operated venues by you, the city, protecting all of us. The buildings need to be affordable for the arts groups to use them. Please don't rush this. Not enough answers. No shutdown. Thank you. Sorry I went over.
That's fine. Thanks. Thanks, Rose. Keelan, can you call our next guest? Or who's up next?
Chiquetta Johnson, James Peterson, and Rudolph Barton.
You're up.
I'll take it away. Members of the council, good afternoon. My name is Rudy Barton. All great cities have remarkable spaces for communal gatherings, inside in inspiring institutions and outside as a dynamic embodiment of a shared civic realm. Both are necessary for a city to be great. Both need connections with one another. For over 40 years, I have been involved with urban design in Portland as a professor of architecture, urban design consultant, and former member of the Portland Design Commission. I have been engaged in numerous studies to help select sites for performing arts centers. Such studies always involve evaluating objective and subjective criteria, including, among many, ease of public access, minimizing public infrastructure costs, and weighing short-term against long-term benefits. Yet evaluation is much more than an abstract matrix. For me, the most important criterion is which site can best maximize its halo effect. In essence, which site has the capacity to anchor and build upon Portland's adopted urban design programs? Which site can maximize connections with encircling properties? And which site can best stimulate and inspire the city's public life? I believe that the renovation of the Keller is the best option for you. It offers by far greater opportunities to reinforce decades of public investments. So much design context already exists. It already has a world-renowned civic space connecting open spaces. Furthermore, the Keller option can be the strongest catalyst for animating private development in its radius, particularly along Market and Clay Streets. With the revamped Keller at its center, brief walks connect cultural institutions, riverfront, retail core, and southern residential areas. We've seen some very interesting proposals today, but they need to be in the right spot. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Keelan, could you call our next guest?
James Peterson.
I think that's just the
AC. Members of the Portland City Council. My name is James Peterson, and I'm a proud alumnus and student current trustee of Portland State University. I'm writing to express my enthusiastic support of Portland State University's proposed Portland Arts and Cultural Complex. The proposed Portland Performing Arts and Cultural Complex is a natural expansion of the impact, and it will significantly enhance the cultural and educational landscape of our city. This complex will be a beacon and cultural beacon of culture and learning, hosting a wide variety of performance and events and educational activities. Its presence will invigorate our city's cultural scene and drive economic development by attracting visitors and bolstering local businesses. The construction and subsequent operations of the complex will create a multitude of job opportunities and foster economic vitality essential for the revival and prosperity of downtown Portland. Beyond the economic values and advantages, the complex is poised to foster social cohesion and enhance community well-being. The arts have an extraordinary capacity to unify people, creating shared experience and fostering understanding. By offering a space for diverse artistic expression, the Portland Performing Arts and Cultural Complex will nurture a more interconnected and resilient community. As an active member of various student organizations, I understand the importance of having access to vibrant cultural resources. This new complex will provide PSU students and the broader community with invaluable opportunities to engage with the arts, fostering creativity, innovation, and a deeper appreciation for diverse cultures and perspectives. In conclusion, I urge you to support the funding and development of the Portland State University's proposed Portland Performing Arts and Culture Complex. This project represents a significant investment in the future of our city, offering cultural enrichment, economic revitalization, and enhanced community well-being. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Keelan, our next group of guests.
George Schweitzer, Jeff Lang, and Christina Chapman.
George joins us online. George, can you unmute? There you go. I think we should be able to hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we sure can, George. You're coming through loud and clear.
Great. Good evening, city commissioners. My name is George Schweitzer. I represent Coast Hospitality, the owner of the Benson Hotel, as well as Portland Lodging Alliance, as an active member and its past chair. Portland Lodging fully supports the arts and resurgence of downtown, but it's opposed to the closing of the Keller Auditorium for any length of time, considering the fragile nature of Portland's downtown and its economy. Surely there's a way to keep the venue in the downtown core, either by renovation tactics similar to Portland Airport, since it can't close through its renovation, or through the PSU proposal. Portland desperately needs a shot in the arm to reclaim and revitalize the city. Reinventing the Keller can help in that regard. And just so you know, Portland State recently presented their proposal at a Portland lodging meeting. There was no negative feedback regarding a new hotel incorporated into the proposed site, since it would only be replacing a hotel that already exists at that location. So thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, George. And next, Jeff Lang, I think, or Keelan, who's up next?
Jeff Lang, Christina Chapman.
Hello, Mayor Ted Wheeler and Portland City Council. My name is Christina, and I am a business representative for the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, Local B20. So our union specifically represents the ticket sellers, ushers, stage door attendants, gate attendants, and elevator attendants, which many theaters no longer have, as well as check room attendants at more venues. And testifying today out of concern regarding the proposed extended closure or potential definite closure of the Keller. While we do support addressing the building's structural concerns and renovation needs, we implore the city to ensure renovation or relocation will not cost workers their livelihood. Our union was established in 1937. We are a relic of old Portland. We have a long history in this city supporting the arts and tourism. Many of our members are also artists themselves. Those outside may see our jobs as transient or temporary, but have not worked with a group of people who are more proud of what they do. We have workers who have been with us for more than 30 years. 10 and 20 years is not uncommon. Personally, my job as an usher is the best job that I've ever had. One of the mantra of my coworkers is that he always strives to provide world-class service at the theaters. Another one of my coworkers views herself as an unofficial ambassador of Portland because beyond guiding patrons to their seats, she provides insights into Portland's history, recommends tourist attractions, dining options, and accommodations, and she has been doing so for over 30 years. We take care of our local residents and create positive lasting memories for those visiting. The possibility of losing these jobs would be devastating. Some people will lose their place to live. These are government jobs that provide stability and benefits that ensure accessibility for individuals from diverse backgrounds. These are union jobs that promote the welfare and rights of its workers. Finding another similar job for our members would be extremely difficult. So we do ask that whichever proposal you choose, that the venue will still employ us as our front of house workers. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We call our next three guests.
Chris Finks, Claudia Sanjor, and Bill Foster.
Welcome. I think technically we have Chris up first, but whoever is ready first can go.
Whoever wants to go first, go first. He's telling me it's me.
All right.
You're like,
I'm Chris Finks, and I've been in Portland for the last 27 years. I've adopted this as my city from Washington, D.C., and came and fell in love with this city and raised my son here. I came here for an urban renewal project called Pioneer Place, the second phase, not the first phase. I was still in college when that happened, but I was here for that piece. And one thing I just want to say is that all these proposals are really impressive. Any city that we've been counted out for a long time, to see three things, efforts, is impressive. I will say that. There's one, though, that I'm in favor of, and I'm here to testify in favor of, and that is the Keller, the 21st century Keller. And we have considered jobs, and we can talk about that every single day. there. And that's why we want to keep it there, because there are other jobs, including the jobs we're talking about today with the labor. And we take that very seriously. But there's jobs with the hotels and the hospitality and restaurants and retail all around that area that rely upon the Keller being in place. And there's a science to this. It's where people walk two or three blocks to go to an attraction. You remove that outside of those areas, you lose that vitality. I'm really concerned about that. And I think that we have a proposal that's ready. Yes, 7 years. It's now really heating up now. And I think we're open to conversations and speaking being part of the Halperin Conservancy, that we would be willing to talk to work on schedules to make sure that we don't impact people negatively. And there's a fundraising piece that are ready. You've got public and private sector. You've got design. You've got all these different elements to do with the Keller that are all almost shovel ready. I think that somebody said that earlier, not quite, but close. And any of these other initiatives, I don't think are as far as we are. And I think we're ready. And the city really does need, I'm really concerned. One of the things, I've been a player in downtown vitality since I've been here. And to see what's happened this last several years, I want to be part, all of us be part together to bring us back.
So that's Thank you, Mr. Finks. Please go.
Dave. Hi. Your patience is appreciated for a long day. My name is Bill Foster. I've also been for the last year a member of the Halperin Advisory Committee, watching all these projects develop. After listening today, I agree with what he said. You got three interesting, inspirational projects, any one of which any city would be thrilled to have. But when I look at this, this is much more than weighing costs or counting seats or short-term programming or labor issues, parking lots and all that stuff. It's really about sense of place. We are all, whether it's Northwest or Oregon or Portland or our neighborhoods, we're all very invested in the kind of place we live, and we're caretakers of that. And when I get to the bottom line of this, I'm reminded of the quote, is there a there there? And two of these proposals really don't, in my mind, have a there there. They're opportunities to create a new place, but we have a place, and we've got this amazing Keller Halperin Fountain and the auditorium, at which millions of people have made their memories and shared experience. And I think that's where we need to build and to continue to build. I think we're doing a Keller is really a vote for the future of downtown Portland. And so my vote, if I have one, is to do the Keller and make Portland great.
Thank you so much. Keelan, could you call up our next three guests?
Carl Abbott, Kate Dixon, and Marion DeBarda-Levin.
Good job.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I guess it's my turn.
It sure is. Well, I think we have some guests online, but why don't we start with you, okay, and then we'll go to Kate.
Good afternoon. My name is Marion DeBartolaban. I live downtown and have lived through the recent and current mayhem downtown up close. I voted for a council that would improve and build upon the plans and the visionaries of the visionaries who came before. So what happened? Why not show loyalty to an established theater that has served this state for a century? Show loyalty to the citizens who have generational tradition built around visits to the Keller Auditorium. Why not build upon established traditions? Don't be manipulated by the throwaway trends of today. Why not build upon time-tested service from the Keller for our citizens of this state as well as visitors? Why not show resilience that Portland has after attacks from destructive elements, elements which have sent many residents into panic and flight from our city? Show resilience and the confidence that Portlands have beyond disruptors. Reimagine the Keller in the established space we have all come to appreciate and love. Show appreciation for the businesses and the Halprin sequence that makes Portland's cultural center a destination spot. The Keller was and can continue to be a known and cherished auditorium for the next 100 years. Show loyalty and resilience to the Portland and citizens of Oregon. Reimagine the Keller. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mick Dixon, you're up next.
Well, thank you very much. Good afternoon, city councilors. I know this has been quite a long day, so I'll try to make my comments brief. I'm actually reading a set of comments that's been put together by a group of informal group of concerned citizens. We've worked on some projects around the city, and we want to make a statement today enthusiastically supporting the renovation of the Keller Auditorium. The Keller, as you are well aware, but it is an integral part of Portland's arts and cultural hub. And we believe that the Keller is a sound option based on the sustainability and the fact that it's common sense. It makes more environmental and economic sense to renovate and improve the existing Keller building than to start over in a new location. I must say that I think that with the PSU proposal, and by the way, I'm a PSU retired adjunct. I love PSU. It serves the city so well. But to move all of the performing arts to one end of the city is not central downtown. It's not the core of downtown. But I do like the possibility of a 1200 auditorium there and a partnership between the Keller and PSU, if that's a possibility. I also, back to my prepared remarks, cost and time, renovating and improving the Keller will cost significantly less and be completed faster. The location and parking is there. The Keller is in the heart of downtown across from the beloved and nationally renowned Fountain Park, which we've talked about today. The Keller will continue to support the revitalization of downtown Portland. Renovating the Keller will keep people coming to downtown each year. And finally, very quickly, my comment is, let's honor the past and build the future for Portland as an art and cultural hub by renovating the 21st Keller Auditorium. Thank you.
Thank you. Keelan, could you call our next three guests?
Michelle Fuji, Walter Weiler, and Mark Stevenson.
David, you're on. Do you have to be right here?
Looks like we have someone. Mark, I presume?
Yes.
Welcome.
I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I'm Mark Stevenson. I'm a member of the Halprin Conservancy's task force. My professional background is I'm chief financial officer at Craft Free, which is a nonprofit community development financial institution here in Portland, and previously 10 years as CEO of Capital Pacific Bank, which was a certified benefit corporation. I'm in support of the Keller renovation for the following primary reasons. There's other reasons that people have talked about, but these are the primary ones I'm interested in. First, it's reassuring to hear results of the recent poll that shows strong voter and community support for the Keller rebuild. Second, I also believe that if we're serious about our civic commitment to rebuilding downtown, that the Keller is at the heart of our downtown district. Vacating the Keller would create a big hole in downtown and represent a significant step backward in our efforts to revitalize downtown. The Keller is not an isolated investment. It is at the heart of the Fountain and Cultural District and is surrounded by parking, restaurants, hotels, and other venues in the immediate neighborhood. Clearly, its absence would impact the immediate small business community in that area. PSU is close. It's a beautiful campus, an important asset to the Portland community, but it's peripheral to downtown. Finally, and maybe because this speaks to the financial person in me, I think a $300 million cost difference is a big deal. I don't know how we can ignore that. It's not just what the city is putting into it. I'm talking about total cost, because total cost matters. I saw today the news about the study showing the direct and indirect costs over the 2 years the Keller would be closed for renovation. We've heard about a lot about that today in terms of the cost of labor. I think there's a couple of important things to note. First of all, the Keller cost does address those direct costs of closure, including those of the people that work at the Keller. Yes, there are indirect costs, which are the impact on the broader community, but those are short-term. No, it would seem important to do a study on the long-term indirect costs of the loss of the Keller to downtown. If we were to do a present value calculation on those long-term costs, I suspect it would be a very large number. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Keelan, could we call our next three guests?
Remy Watts, Angela Jackson, and Bashar Wally.
Remy, welcome. You're up first.
Hi, thank you. Good evening, Council. For the record, my name is Remember Watts. I go by Remy, and I have been a resident of Southeast Portland for nearly 10 years now. I have received my master's degree in public administration about 10 years ago, and I've been working on nonpartisan policy analysis at the state level for quite a few years. And even though my office is downtown, I have almost applied to Portland State University, and I have been a regular attendee of the Lloyd Center my entire Portland life. I'm not really here to give you a decision that I would make. I'm here to help you make a decision. And I wanted to share two facts with you that I believe are important to consider when you're making a decision on how to vote with this situation, because as we've all noticed, there are three really amazing proposals here. Number one, ensuring that inclusivity and equity in the final design includes size inclusivity. So Oprah Winfrey recently hosted a 1 hour Ozempic special, and Oprah noted that being fat is one of the only biases left that are acceptable in our culture. I would like to make sure that the city of Portland fully rejects that pervasive anti-fat bias and fully embraces inclusivity of all people. So we can make sure that we ensure accessible seats are installed, which include ample aisle room, making sure that the arms go up. I'm sure all of that will be hammered out in the implementation phase, but I want to make sure that you note that that is an important thing to stick to. And then something else I wanted to share was actually a quote from my A Budgeting Guide for Local Government, 3rd edition by Robert L. Bland, which I read in grad school. Around this exact public administration theory. So the cases made for the public financing of arts venues is that these facilities either provide public benefit or contribute to economic growth. However meritorious, they do not meet the criteria of non-divisibility and non-excludability. Admission tickets are required to enter their fence, thus they are not qualified as public goods. Anyway, I'm going to send you this passage. Thank you so much for listening, and good luck making a decision.
Thanks, Remy. I think we have Angela.
Yes. Good evening, counselors. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Angela Jackson. I'm an investor and entrepreneur, co-founder of Portland Seed Fund in partnership with the City of Portland. I'm here to express my strong support for the proposed Portland State University Performing Arts Complex. In addition to my professional role, I actually have a deep personal connection to the performing arts. Dance was my first career back in Minneapolis. I actually was a teacher at Oregon Ballet Theater many years ago. My students performed on the Keller and the Nutcracker and other productions, so did my daughter. All of that said, my investor self, entrepreneur self, also knows the time to look forward versus back with fond memories. The proposed Performing Arts Complex at PSU is just the kind of bold vision we need to revitalize downtown Portland now. Our state is depending on us. As someone involved in fostering innovation and economic development in our city,
I believe this development will play a crucial role in reinvigorating our cultural and economic landscape. Many others believe this too in the investor, entrepreneur, philanthropic, bold leader community. I'll point to a couple that you will have in testimony, just a couple of notable quotes. The Verniers, who have now endowed the downtown Vernier Science Center, they said the performing arts complex is more than just a facility for PSU. It's an investment in the future of Portland. Ken Thrasher, former CEO of Fred Meyer, has noted that Portland needs a project like this one to show the world we are open again for business. And finally, Walter Bowen, CEO of BPM Real Estate Group, used the word transformative in supporting this particular project. I think transformative is an important place to leave my comments. We have this opportunity to transform our city to a whole sort of new future. I believe this Portland State University Performing Arts Complex provides just this opportunity. I also want to take a minute just to thank you guys for your dedication to our city and the opportunity to participate in as an engaged citizen in a civil democracy. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're up next, Mr.
Good evening. My name is Bashar Wali. I am the founder and CEO of Practice Hospitality, a hotel management company based here in Portland, and I live in the South Hills, Southwest Hills, with view of both the Keller and the PSU location. As a hotelier deeply committed to enhancing the cultural and economic vibrancy of our city, I strongly support PSU's plan for a new performing arts center. This project not only ensures the continuity of Portland's rich art scene, providing two state-of-the-art auditoriums, but also integrates a hotel, a conference center, and community spaces. Such a comprehensive development promises constant activity beyond event nights, benefiting local businesses and attracting visitors. The Keller, where it stands, is a dark, significant time of the year throughout the day, particularly. This project that PSU is proposing has already garnered interest from private investors, signaling confidence in its potential to bring millions of dollars to downtown Portland. By fostering a dynamic and inclusive environment, this initiative is a catalyst to revitalizing downtown Portland, bringing economic opportunities, and reinforcing our city's identity as a cultural hub. This Portland will become a Portland gravity center. Additionally, the opportunity to pioneer a hospitality program near and dear to my heart in my industry could further launch our city as a culinary and wine and spirits powerhouse, making this project reach far beyond our local community and giving it the potential to be a world-renowned destination for aspiring chefs, hoteliers, and sommeliers. Portland cannot afford any more plywood on windows. Shutting down the Keller will deal a big blow to our ability to recover, which is already hampered by what tourists see as they stroll our streets. Losing any jobs in this vulnerable time will only deepen our economic depression and delay our exceedingly fragile recovery curve. We need jet engines propelling our recovery, not roadblocks and speed bumps. Although this project may seem like a tall hill to climb today, we simply cannot move forward if we continue to look back. And it's our turn to dream big, think big, and finally play in the major leagues where Portland belongs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wally. Keelan, can we call our next three guests? And I see our first one up is Stan, and Stan is on the line. Welcome, Stan.
Yep, thank you, Commissioner. Hi, everyone. Sorry I couldn't be there in person today. I'm Stan Penkin, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself, although I will note that the Pearl District Neighborhood Association does support the reimagined Keller. Imagine another big empty building in the core of downtown. That is what we will have if we don't move forward with the innovative plans for the renovation of the Keller Auditorium. The proponents for the reimagined Keller have created a world-class design that addresses and resolves the current flaws of the building. But this is more than just a building. It's about a holistic plan that also activates an important core of our city by creating friendly and welcoming gathering spaces and generating connections to the surrounding area. To again be a thriving and vibrant city, we need a downtown core that people want to visit from all across Oregon and the entire country. We should be improving what we already have rather than trying to build something new at greater expense, and which is not in the city core, where we already have a viable neighborhood, existing parking, restaurants, and hotels. Leaving a black hole in the heart of downtown would haunt us for years to come. Portland needs wins, and this is an opportunity for a big win that will serve Portland for many, many years. I urge City Council not to pass up this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Keeland, I jumped in front of you. Do you want to call the next three?
John Liu, Kathleen Miller, and Randy Gregg.
That you, Kathleen? Well, come on up.
Thank all of you guys for coming in. As long as it's taking. Yes, my name is Kathleen Miller, and my husband and I, we both live, good night. We both live in the Portland Plaza, and we, for most of our windows, we can look out right out and see color. And I remember 27 years ago, I was in high school in Battleground, Washington, and I was taking a theater class, and the theater teacher, she said that anyone who was willing to pay for it, she had gotten some an agreement with whoever was running the Keller, and that anyone who wanted to pay would get a seat in the next performance. And I was ecstatic, because even as a little kid, I loved to be doing, you know, going to see plays. And so we went, and the one night we were going to, it turned out to be Les Miserables. And I was in awe. I loved it. I still remember, I've seen it now more than a few times, because my husband and I, we live right there. And we do year-long Broadway shows. And so I've seen that movie, that one, probably about four or five times. But it's not about me. But I did fall in love with the Keller Auditorium and the people who are there and their performances. So, but you know, what is being examined here today? And I just shut on water. But what has been examined today is not specifically the Keller, but when it is removed, then it will take everything away in Portland that made Portland so great. And so what I read from somewhere else, what is being crafted will create an exciting destination for downtown Portland that is not just a building. Something will be an exciting, interactive space that brings together, together for art, cultural events, and an increased sense of community. And I think that that is exactly what Portland needs right now. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We really appreciate your testimony today. I see that John Liu has shown up on Zoom. Mr. Liu, welcome. John, you there?
Yes,
there you go. We can hear you loud and clear.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll make this quick. I know it's been a long evening for you and it's not done yet. I'm the chair of the Bosco Milligan Foundation and Architectural Heritage Center. I'm testifying in that capacity on behalf of the foundation and the AHC. So you know the Keller is the proven location, right? We know that if we rebuild it there, it'll be a fantastic venue because it already is a fantastic venue. So it's a safe choice, right? We also know that remodeling and reusing things is environmentally better than demolishing two existing sites, building an entirely new complex, and then figuring out what we're going to do with a vacant hole by an abandoned fountain, right? So we should stick with the existing location. And finally, the spending aspect is really critical. You've seen that the competing proposals, both PSU and Lloyd, will cost at least twice as much as the Keller remodel and take probably twice as long. But I would like to suggest that it's actually much more than twice as much and much more than twice as long, because with those other proposals, after we're all done paying for it, we are left with what do we do with the Keller? This abandoned, vacant building that has no other use. Look, The PSU proposal said that it's going to be a children's theater or a children's museum. You know, we know, everyone knows that building is never going to be a children's museum. It is not suitable for any other use. And even if it were, it would need to be seismically upgraded. So we're going to pay twice as much on the other proposals. And then we're going to have to pay again to do something with that space. So twice times twice is four. And while I'm not suggesting the other proposals are four times more expensive, I'm suggesting that by the time they're all said and done, it might feel like that. So I would stick to the existing Keller and rebuild it and make it fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Liu. Dylan, can you remind me where we are in the queue?
Randy, Greg. Anita Davidson.
There we go. Welcome, Anita. You're muted right now. There you go. You're close. There you go.
Okay. Good evening, distinguished commissioners, and thank you for this opportunity. My name is Anita Davidson, and I'm a condominium owner downtown. I'm here to ask your support for renovation of the current Keller. Many of my reasons have already been expressed. Renovation is the greenest option. Downtown core location matters, and what happens to the Keller if it's shuttered, and also be mindful of the public cost of construction. But this is not merely a construction decision. It's also an operational decision with very long-term implications. What happens after construction? If we compare operations of the current Keller with the PSU proposal, the Keller outshines. The current Keller holds established and straightforward relationships and processes for its day-to-day operations. Known and straightforward have value. Contrast that with PSU's plan, which introduces complexity, unknowns, and risk with its commercial condominium structure. First, a commercial condominium will not manage itself. It will require additional city staff for the next 50 years to participate with the condominium board, contracts, budgets, reserve studies, and potentially conflicting interests. If the PSU site is built, additional city staff will be needed at a level more demanding and more costly year over year than the current Keller operations. In addition, a commercial condominium structure comes with added risk, but is there any benefit? For example, if a PSU student or a hotel guest is injured, will the city be the deep pocket partner on the hook for a portion? When pipes leak in the hotel or the hotel needs more soundproofing, how much will taxpayers be on the hook for those shared costs? The bottom line is that there will be increased risk and public costs to operate a city auditorium as part of a commercial condominium structure. Construction lasts 3 to 5 years, while operations will continue 50 years beyond. The current Keller has a history of successful relationships and operations that can continue during and after renovation. The labor issues are real, but also manageable. And it seems to me we could have both. PSU can build its 1,200-seat auditorium, hotel, and conference center, and the city can renovate the Keller. We could get it all. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you so much, Keelan. Could you call our next three guests?
Robert Grummel, Brad Perkins, and Vadim Mazursky.
Hello, my name is Bob Grummel, founder of Grummel Engineering. I'm here to testify in support of the renovation of the Keller Auditorium. My firm and I have been working with the Halperin Landscape Conservancy since 2019. We have completed the structural review and recommendations of the current proposal that has been presented here today. The proposed renovated structure will be designed to new standards regarding seismic performance. From a performance perspective, it will be indistinguishable from a new structure. In addition, our firm has contracted soils investigations and material testing, which have yielded favorable results. Deep pile foundations will not be required to support the existing structure as previously thought. This is a tremendous savings. The existing concrete and masonry structures can be reinforced to carry both gravity and seismic loading. A word on the condition of the existing Keller structure. The 1960s renovation provided significant structural reinforcement in the form of concrete and rebar. And while this building does not meet current code, it does have significant structural elements in place which can be relied on in renovating this building to current standards. Recently, this building has been unfairly characterized as fragile URM building, when in fact it has significant strength from this 1960 renovation to resist seismic forces. I strongly urge you to select the Keller renovation project as the future primary performance hall for the city of Portland. This is a reliable choice that you will never regret.
Thank you so much. Mr. Perkins, welcome.
Good evening. I'm Brad Perkins and strongly support locating a new performing arts center to the redeveloped Lloyd Center site. The LC Mall was great for a while, but now it's time to integrate the large site into its urban context with mixed use development. A new performance hall will help rebuild the LC area and thus strengthen Portland's Central East Side community's income and ethnic diversity versus PSU's proposed freeway site. The performance hall at Lloyd Center is greatly benefited by being less than 10 minutes walk to the Rose Quarter, which is central to all carbon reducing transportation networks. The RQ is to include privately initiated plans for the development of Rose Quarter to Gorge Trail and Cascadia High-Speed Rail. As co-owner and CEO of CHSL Bullet Trains, it is our goal to use mostly private funding to develop bullet train service between Eugene and Vancouver, BC for theater goers and others. Imagine Portland's Veterans Memorial Coliseum interior is renovated to facilitate bullet train station that is connected to all transportation systems and acts as a catalyst for development of new housing, stores, offices, and entertainment uses in the depressed East Side. Visualize how people can walk from the Rose Quarter transportation hub on Multnomah Street that goes under I-5 to Grand Avenue and becomes an exciting 44-foot wide pedestrian outdoor marketplace in the middle of the street to the new Arts Center. I urge the council to support this great possibility of people enjoying a walk from a new performing arts center across Multnomah Street from a revitalized Holiday Park to a much needed new Rose Quarter Town Center and Cascadia High-Speed Rail Station Hub along the beautifully improved Willamette River waterfront. Thank you for your consideration in these economic development plans for a more livable port.
Thank you. Vadim, you're up.
Thank you, Commissioner Mapps, Mayor Wheeler, City Commissioners. I appreciate you making time to hear testimony from people that know their neighborhoods and will be directly impacted by your upcoming vote. I'm speaking on behalf of the renovation of the Keller Auditorium. My name is Vadim Mazursky, and I'm testifying in the capacity of president of the Goose Hollow Foothills League, as well as president of Neighbors West Northwest, a coalition of 11 neighborhood associations. Both organizations have voted unanimously to support the plan to remodel the Keller Auditorium. We've looked at the cost, the impact on the neighborhoods, the impact on the environment, and what would work best to create a future that is more vibrant for Portlanders. All those indicators weighed in favor of the Keller renovation. We all talk a lot about revitalizing Central Portland, which has gone through some devastating circumstances over the last few years. And this would go a long way to revitalize Central Portland. It would anchor a walkable restaurant and entertainment area for residents and visitors alike. On the flip side, building an auditorium elsewhere and taking needed business and foot traffic away from the heart of downtown will be yet another devastating blow to the downtown and Central Portland area. You've heard a lot of testimony today, including what I suspect is from people who don't even reside in Central Portland. I urge you to listen to the people representing thousands of residents in downtown, Goose Hollow, Old Town, Pearl, Northwest District, and numerous other neighborhoods. We know the needs of our neighbors, and the needs include a remodeled, renovated Keller and a re-energized downtown core. Let's stop talking about revitalizing downtown and begin the process of accomplishing that by renovating the Keller Auditorium. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And next up, we have Derek Frost. Welcome, Mr. Frost.
Thank you. Good afternoon, evening. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of the PSU proposal for the new Performing Arts Center.
My name is Derek Trost. I'm a graduate of the architecture program at the University of Oregon and specialize in the design of live performance venues and recording studios. I serve on the city's noise review board and serve as vice chair on the Music Policy Council, on whose behalf I'm speaking today. We represent performers, composers, stagehands, promoters and bookers, venue owners and operators in our community. Collectively, we believe that PSU's proposal stands head and shoulders above the rest for all concerned, revitalizing downtown with a brand new state-of-the-art venue that will lead us to important redevelopment of the adjacent neighborhoods and integration with the university campus. During construction, the public will enjoy uninterrupted opportunities to attend shows that employ hundreds of local performers, technicians, and stagehands. Once complete, a world-class venue awaits all of these folks, providing a massively improved experience Portland will simply never see at the current Keller site. With more than double the real estate at the PSU site, crucial front of house and back of house operations are properly accommodated, including semi-truck loading and unloading. There simply is no sensible scenario for these basic realities at the current Keller site, and this critical infrastructure is conspicuously absent from the Lloyd District concept. PSU and Bora Architecture have demonstrated they actually understand how to make this building work. And believe me, folks who work these shows talk with folks who book these shows. The realities of the venue are known and considered when it comes to future and ongoing opportunities. Shows that would otherwise drive right by us on I-5 will include the Portland market in their national tours. Council, please join us in supporting this well-conceived proposal for a new downtown performing arts complex. Let the show go on.
Thank you so much. Elon, could you call our next three testifiers?
Stephen Koch, Mary Coolidge, Mark Montgomery.
Welcome. 2 minutes, name for the record.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for being here. My name is Stephen Koch. I'm a native Portlander, a fellow of the American Society of Landscape Architects, and a founder of the Halpern Landscape Conservancy. I'd like to reiterate that the Keller Auditorium is an integral part of the closely knit group of entertainment venues and public open spaces that support the vitality and social health of the city's core. The current location of the Keller Auditorium is inextricably tied and supported by the Keller Fountain, the Portland Open Space Sequence, and the entire Fountain District. It is the best location, the greenest location, and most affordable location for this entertainment center. I'm personally puzzled by the agenda of the State Board of Higher Education and PSU and their motivations other than gleaning revenue, expanding real estate holdings, and piggybacking their responsibility for multiple academic programs onto an excessively diversified funding scenario. Shouldn't PSU focus on education? Keep the Keller where it is. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Coolidge, you're up next.
Hello, good evening, commissioners. Thanks for hanging in there to the very bitter end. My name is Mary Coolidge. I am representing Bird Alliance of Oregon. We are surprised to see such a heavy reliance on all glass facades in the three Keller proposals. So we urge you to direct project teams to scale back from the all glass building concept in order to better meet Portland's climate action goals and to design a building that will more thoughtfully meet the exterior glazing standard in the Central City Plan, as well as BirdSafe standards in the City of Portland's and Metro's green building policies. The all glass building is less energy efficient, increases HVAC demand, reflects heat into the surrounding area, exacerbating the urban heat island effect in an existing climate crisis, poses an undue risk to birds, and greatly increases the amount of light trespass from the facade when the building is occupied after dark, which the Keller will be. BirdSafe glass can certainly be specified for an all glass building, but this is the least sustainable approach to building design in terms of collision mitigation, light trespass, and energy efficiency. There are many other exciting and beautiful building design approaches that aren't transparent vessels, as we heard about today. Therefore, we urge you to ask for an innovative redesign of the chosen proposal to reduce the all glass facade. Of the three proposals, we would support the Marking Keller renovation by Henneberry Eddy with modifications. This is the only one of the three that mentions bird diversity in Portland at all. clearly identifies the need for bird-safe glass and renovates an existing building, which is the most environmentally responsible approach. That said, the renovation renderings do depict a brightly lit all-glass building, which will operate in after-dark areas or hours and create significant light spill into the surrounding area, which will impact residential buildings in the adjacent area, as well as the health of our urban ecosystem. So we would support this proposal if the design were modified to reduce the glass exterior and to incorporate responsible management of light spill from both the building as well as the fountain. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Keelan, could you call our next three?
Lisa James, Marion McNamara, and Yoko Kinoshita. That completes testimony.
Well, colleagues, number one. Oh, here we go. Oh, no, you're doing fine. We saved the best for last.
Thank you for staying and catching the last one.
Thank you for your patience today and everyone who stuck around to hear testimony and to testify. We really appreciate your patience. Clearly, these projects resonate with folk. I'll turn the floor over to you.
Thank you. My name is Marion McNamara. I live downtown, and I am strongly in favor of the 21st Century Keller Auditorium. And my main reason is because of it has the least climate change aspects. And as a grandmother, I'm always thinking about climate because my granddaughters have to live in the world we leave behind us. And I'm hoping our city will also be looking at climate as the first thing we consider. But I also have agree with many of the people who've spoken before on the advantages and also the troubling question of what happens if Keller is not chosen as the option. And I would just beg of you as the council to look at and think about what you're going to do with that building if after 3 years or 5 years or however many, it goes dark, because it really will be a hole in downtown Portland. And I know that you have a lot of things on your plate, and you certainly have a lot of people that are going to be mad at you no matter what you decide to do. But if you will let people know before they kind of commit to this, to whichever decision you come up with, at least they will know what they're getting into. And I doubt that there'll be a great enthusiasm for re-taxing ourselves to retrofit the Keller after we've already done another job in another part of the city. So I think just let people know what's coming and then we can deal with it. Thank you very much, and good luck.
Thank you, Ms. McNamara. Let me check in with Keelan one last time to make sure that we got to everyone who is here to testify today. Yep. All right, colleagues, that completes public testimony on these items. Just to kind of remind us where we are, we have three reports before us today. Our basic work before we can close out the workday is to vote to accept these items or not to accept these items. But before we get to that, colleagues, is there any discussion that you want to put on the table? Commissioner Gonzalez.
I just wanted to clarify. Will you vote on these individually? Can we do it in the aggregate?
I think one at a time.
Okay. That's all I got.
Okay, great. Hearing no other comments from my colleagues, I'll just share a few thoughts that the mayor shared with me. You know, I want to thank everyone who testified today, especially staff, consultants, advisors, member of the public. It's clear a great deal of effort went into putting together these proposals. And on behalf of the city and on behalf of this council, I want to thank all of you. This is clearly a passion project for so many folks. I think there's a lot that everyone in this town should feel great about. Today's presentations all reflect things that we should be proud of. There's so much creativity in the room. Love the partnerships between the private sector and public sector. It's also clear, and I think we've learned in a very profound way today, that the Keller has a profound impact on our local economies, jobs, and quality of life. And as we move into public engagement over the next couple of weeks, let's remember that this is a moment in time that does not come often. We have a great deal of things to consider over the next several weeks, which is why I look forward to continuing this conversation. But in the meantime, colleagues, it is time to consider each report in turn. Let's see, I would like to, if I may, can I get a motion to accept, what's our first report? 455, I believe it is.
So moved.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
Yeah. Second.
Keelan, please call the roll.
Ryan.
I would like to make just one statement and then just accept the other two reports, but I'm going to do it all in total. Is that okay? You agree with that, colleagues?
Sounds great.
Might say like a 10 minutes or more. I just have to say, first of all, that it'll be 4 years in September that I've been on this city council, and I've heard a lot of testimony, and I think that was the best testimony I've listened to since I've been on city council. It was just so, all of it was very bold and exciting and inspiring, and everyone was thinking big, and you know, people use the word restoration in different ways, obviously. And it was just really refreshing to see so many civic-minded, enthusiastic people come forward and take time because they love their city so much. They love the arts so much. They love downtown so much, the whole central part of the city so much that they wanted to be heard. And I'm really just impressed with what I listened to today. So thank you, everyone who testified. Also, thank you to the three teams, if you will, that showed up to give reports today. They were all outstanding. They were all thought-provoking. I learned a lot. And when you have a job like this, it's always about, you know, I'm curious, or I would have applied for a job like this. And it was just, everything was it was outstanding to just absorb. So being in a sponge mode today, this afternoon and evening, a treat. So I just want to say that thank you all for thinking big. I think what I also heard is Portland needs a big win. There's urgency around this. I do think we're going to have to make a decision definitely this summer. I think the date is in July. Is that the date? Do you have it in front of you, Maps?
I don't.
Okay. I can't recall if the mayor set the date. I think it was in late July or something. But I know that we will be making a decision. And I think that our city deserves us to make a decision so we can move this forward, because we do need that big, exciting win. So I just really am here to say thank you, everyone. I'm taking it all in, and I look forward to mulling it over. I look forward to how each one will evolve, and I accept the report for this, and I will say aye to the other two. Thanks. Aye.
Gonzalez.
I want to acknowledge both the gravity of the moment and the inspiration of the moment. We are making a decision in the coming months that will have generations of impact, if not a century. Placemaking, place protection is a central role of government. The complex ecosystem of performers, of businesses, lovers of the arts, residents, they're all part of this orchestra. They're all part of the symphony that we're playing together. But it's not gonna end in one night. It's gonna last for 100 years. I just wanna air my appreciation also for the presenters. The word inspiration is real. You shed light on the city. You gave us hope today. You know, regardless of which way we go, I want us to leverage this energy as we really define the urban landscape for our next 100 years. So with that, I vote to accept the report.
Rubio.
first, I just want to say how blown away I was by all the presentations. And they each produced concepts that were truly, absolutely stunning. And as others have expressed tonight, I wish we could proceed with all of them. But I know that we can't, and we have some decisions to make. But I do want to say congratulations to each of the teams. This has been a really interesting conversation. It's given us a lot to consider. As my colleague said, also what's been really, really compelling tonight for me has been the quality of testimony. It's been really, really good and given us multiple dimensions to think about. Themes that I'll be, that are resonating for me are absolutely the climate impacts and the carbon impacts, the worker and artist impacts, and then the financial feasibility. So we have some analyses to do. And also after tonight's testimony, I hadn't thought of this before, but any possibilities for partnership and for that piece only, I wish that we did have more time to explore that. So thanks again to all of you that waited so long to testify. It shows your clear dedication to this project, to the arts, and to this city. So again, excellent presentations, and I vote aye to accept the report.
Maps.
Aye. Colleagues, can I get a motion to accept or and the item passes? Let's move forward. Colleagues.
So move.
Second.
Please call the roll.
Ryan.
Aye.
Gonzalez.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye.
Maps.
Aye. The report is accepted. Can I get a motion for 457?
So move.
So move.
I'll call Ryan a second. Keelan, please call the roll.
Ryan.
Aye.
Gonzalez.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye.
Maps. Aye. And with that, I believe all three reports have been accepted. I want to thank everyone who showed up today to testify, everyone watching online. It has been a long one. Colleagues, I believe that completes our work for the day. But before I adjourn us, I should check with Keelan.
Yep, we're good.
We're all set. All right, folks, we're adjourned. Have a good evening.